Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Sports Ethos NBA DFS Today podcast. It's your boy Ramiz, and as usual on Thursday nights, I'm joined here with yours truly, Kenny. Of course, we're just coming back from All-Star break, and we're going into a 10-game slate, which is unfortunately from DraftKings divided by two slates. I don't like the two slates. I like prefer one slate. So, of course, me and Kenny are going to do our best to go through this one quick. But, of course, when you have two informative basketball enthusiasts, it can be quite difficult. But that's enough yapping. Kenny, tell me, how was your week? Did you enjoy the All-Star weekend? What was it, 400-point total game?
Oh, man, they were slightly under 400 points total. I was kind of sad to see that. I was glad to see Cat go for 50 when there was nobody enthusiastic about it on the bench again. I never thought that would happen in the same year, let alone the same season. And, you know, my girl Sabrina Ionescu, she showed out. Probably was the biggest spotlight in All-Star weekend. Wondering what they're going to do with it next year, because I can see this going a little bit farther, since there's more than just Sabrina who could be shooting like that. That's the end of the W. That's how about sure. Yourself, man? Were you a fan of it?
I would say that was probably the highlight, because I think it did show off, like, especially how great of a shooter Sabrina is. I ain't gonna lie, the other parts of the All-Star weekend, I didn't really enjoy. I mean, we saw, what was it, Jaylen Brown dunking over Kai Cenat in the chair. I don't know, and he got 48 for that, I think, which is, I don't know what the dunk contest.
Still have no idea who that dude is. maybe it's just for the younger generation or something, but yeah, I was at a loss. I had no idea who he was, a dude who came out in the Hawks jersey. I'm still trying to figure out both of them.
Yeah, the Hawks jersey guy wasn't even involved in the dunk. He just wore a Wilkins jersey and pointed. And they didn't even show us the dunk. They showed him in the jersey.
It happens. Yes. We're amazing. Yeah, so, happens.
Well, now we're back to the normal basketball. And like I said, there was a lot of games today. So I think there's going to be quite a few teams who are playing on back-to-backs too. So it is going to be interesting in terms of injuries. I know Lakers are playing on a back-to-back. So you got to watch out for the LeBron and AD. Donovan Mitchell was out for this game on Thursday. So I don't know if he's going to play for Philly. Ingram missed today's game as well, which I guess also me and Kate can have a discussion about Alvarado hitting his over on his 14.5, I think, total rebounds assists. I guess Ingram missing out probably also played a part in that as well. So he might not play tomorrow as well. But let's go straight into this as usual. We'll start off with the 6-game slate because those are the earlier games. And as usual, as point guards, Kenny, lead the way.
Oh, man, I'm just going to keep it simple, man. Going up against a team that's given up a good amount of points to opponents. And also playing, you know, now that I think about it, both of these teams give about a good amount of points to opponents. But I'm going to go straight to this Toronto-Atlanta matchup. And I'm going to go with Trae Young as my spend-up for 9-4 against the Raptors. And for my mid-tier, it's also going to be in the same game. I don't even know if I could call it a mid-tier. But from the same game, can I go with Quickly as a mid-tier for 7K? Or is that a little too much for a mid-tier?
Hey, man, go for it.
All right, man. I'm going to go straight to both of these players who should get you at least 10 three-pointer attempts in this matchup. I did not look at the total on it yet, but if I had to take a guess, it should be around the 240 range.
245, you're close.
245, all right. Yeah, I knew it. 240 range, and I really don't see how you could get any more volume from these two shooters in any other matchup that they're going to be playing, possibly for the rest of the season, since I think Atlanta got both of their games, got three of their games against Indiana done already. Going with the low tier option, I actually had a little trouble with that, because that's like, man, I kind of wanted to wait on the news. I don't want to really do this. But since I was able to watch him get 20 minutes in a game, I'm like, man, maybe they're just going to bring him back, revitalize his career. But, man, I'm going to say Aaron Holiday. Aaron Holiday for three sits.
Interesting.
Look, I don't know what the Rockets are doing. The season is already over. Their most productive basketball today was when Aaron Holiday was on the floor. Honestly, didn't really do too much in the game, but he played defense, something that nobody else on the Rockets did, especially in that guard position. So going on a back-to-back, I can actually see them sitting a few players, you know, like a FVV or a Dylan Brooks. And, yeah, Holiday could be in a potential 15-20-minute spot. How you like that for the GPP play?
I like it. But I think it's going to be one of those picks you're going to have to wait until close to the injury report to kind of see who plays or not. Because I think with Fred back and Amen playing the way he was before Fred was, I mean, when Fred was injured. Aaron Holiday, I do like him. I do think he can kind of play off ball too. And at 3,600, you know me, I love my GPP picks as well. So I'm always rooting for that. In terms of point guards, when you mentioned Toronto and Atlanta, I thought me and you were about to have the same pick because I'm doing a bit of a finessing because this guy has, dual eligibility at the point guard spot and small forward spot, and that's Scotty Barnes at 8,800. I think this guy was also my highest spend up in this league. This is a guy who I'm thinking coming off, All-Star break where he was an All-Star, participating in the Skills Challenge. Of course, I want to say he had a crazy game today because he did go against the Nets and they did blow them out. Yeah, the Raptors blew out a team. I think that may have allowed Scottie to get some extra rest too. And this game against Atlanta usually is a high-scoring game. And like you said, these two teams give up a lot of points. There won't be a lot of defense, so I don't even think Trae Young is a bad pick. But I decided to go with Scottie Barnes, mainly because I think especially with Onyeka Okongwu injured, I think you're looking at Clint Capela or probably some small ball center, which Scottie Barnes should be able to thrive in. And then my mid-tier pick, I am keeping tabs on Darius Garland. This is only in the scenario that Donovan Mitchell doesn't play. And, of course, Garland has been struggling, I want to say, in these games with Donovan Mitchell. This is the best chance he gets, like, to kind of get back into form. I know they played today, and it was an all-right night. Of course, Darius Garland, I'm thinking about his All-Star years, and I know he's still capable of doing it. But in this matchup, of course, it'd be a tough matchup with Philly, but I still think he needs one of these games where he has a responsibility to go off. And I think against Philly, because it might be maybe more, I don't know, more game with more stakes to it, he might have to kind of just come out of it. But that's only if Donovan Mitchell doesn't play, right? But if that's not the case, I like Tyus Jones at 6,100. He's been having some great performances. I think he's been averaging around like 39 or 38 fantasy points in the past three games. And especially this is, I know I mentioned Atlanta, Toronto was around 240 range, like you said. Wizards and OKC's over under is around 241.5, with, of course, OKC is supposedly to win by 14 or 15 points. But even in the past few games, the Wizards have made some games competitive, and therefore that's why Tyus Jones has been able to get around that mark in terms of points total. So at 6,100, I like that price. Yeah, but it's not a pick I'd have on almost every slate, but on a few slates, I think Tyus Jones is a reasonable option in the mid-tier area. And then for my budget pick, I'm going for the guy who had his debut today for the Philadelphia 76ers. That's Kyle Lowry at 4,200. I think the Anthony Melton is still out. And, of course, Kyle Lowry's past relationship with Dick Nurse. I'm actually going to say like Kyle Lowry looks in better shape than he has before, I want to say, this season. And especially considering Nick Nurse's past history of playing dual point guards, I do think Lowry will get a few good minutes. Of course, he might have maybe a tougher time to learn the sets or such, or to play alongside this new roster. But I think he'll be able to ease in and just kind of have a few nights where he can do somewhat of what he's been able to do in the past. Obviously, not to the same extent. But at 4,200 as a cheap, I think it's a good option to go for. I'll start off with the shooting guards. And I didn't really like the high tier guys, to be honest. So I decided to go straight for mid tier here. And that was Buddy Hield at 6,700. This is one of the players who has been on great form. playing heavy minutes and getting a lot of shot attempts. I mean, that's checking off all three boxes for someone who's going in a DFS pick. And he's only 6,700. He is going to be going against Cleveland, who I guess does have a lot of paint protection, but I think where Buddy Hield has been thriving is definitely has been the three-point attempts. I mean, he's been shooting 45% from three in his last game against Miami. I don't know how he performed tonight, but against Cleveland the last time they faced, he had 44 DK fantasy points, 8 attempts. But generally, he's been getting a lot of shot attempts and minutes, and he's been able to perform. So I think, like I said, I don't know how he performed today, but at 6,700, I still really like that price to go for a player like him because of knowing his upside. Mid-tier pick, I decided to go with Trey Murphy III. I guess another one of those if picks because, I mean, this is in case of Brandon Ingram Brandon Ingram isn't available to play. I think Trey Murphy III will probably still get a good amount of shot because he's probably one of the players you want to play alongside Zion to space the floor. And overall, we know Trey Murphy III, he's one of those guys who is can kind of have those explosive nights and just really get a lot of upside out of him. And then budget one is someone who, I guess, it's a bold pick because, I mean, me and you were talking about it, Kenny, and as Jordan Hawkins. Of course, they blew out the Rockets today, and Jordan Hawkins didn't get a lot of minutes, but Jose Alfredo did. So this might be an interesting pick, but Jordan Hawkins, same thing, kind of similar to what I said about Trey Murphy III. He's kind of a heat check player. I think if Jordan Hawkins comes in for a few minutes and has that scorer's touch, I think he'll get a lot more minutes. And he's only priced at 3,000, which is the minimum amount. So like I said, it is a bold pick, but it allows you to go for the more expensive tier players if you'd like to.
No, pretty solid picks. I like how you was able to throw in a Pelican, even though one of them ruined my night already. Shooting guard, I'm actually going to go a different route. I'm spinning up. I'm actually going to look at Booker in this spot. Again, this is a back-to-back, especially going up against Houston. And I feel like if a player does rest, it will be KD over Booker. Really don't see how he don't at least have a floor of 40 DraftKings points. Even if, honestly, even if Durant play, I can really see him having a floor of around 35, 40 DraftKings points. If he's out, should be around 45, 50 DraftKings points. Should be able to get you a natural 30 points, along with probably about 10 rebounds and assists. Will be really chalky. So, again, this will be more of a cash game play. Even though it's a back-to-back, I do still see a pretty high ownership, especially the way this slate is priced. And if we don't get news on spend up in the same position in the Cleveland Philly game. Going mid-tier, I'm going to go right back to the Phoenix-Houston game. And this has been somebody who's been playing with a whole lot of energy. I want to say for the whole month of February. Ricky, who has a brother who's also, you know, in a situation that's going a little bit downhill. But I'm in Thompson. Really been liking his game lately. They kind of unlocked him. Honestly took all the rebounds away from Jabari Smith. So that under was a nice under to play while he was out there getting 30 minutes. But in this spots against Phoenix where, you know, Durant or even Nurkic could sit out, it could be a possible double-double spot for him if he's going to continue to get 32-plus minutes. Then with the cheapie, I'm actually – can I really go with a cheapie on this one? You know, this isn't much of a cheapie. This is kind of like a spend-up for a cheapie. But for 4-8, I'm going back to the same game, especially if Durant is out. I really do like Eric Gordon in this spot. It is a revenge game. Don't forget, Gordon didn't spend a good amount of time on the Rockets. And I do love the narratives. But tonight he actually got probably the bulk of Grayson Allen's shots. I want to say Allen only had 3 shot attempts this game. Gordon has about 12. And in this matchup, I do feel like he can actually generate about 5 assists.
get you about three three-pointers hit. And in cash or GPP, that could get you a nice little 25, 30 DraftKings points at the end of the night.
Interesting. Before we head into small forwards, I do want to mention, of course, the NBA Fantasy Pass that you can get for $6 per month. With this pass, you get daily streams, recaps of the top lines of the night every day, and Discord access to the pros. You can also, for all sport package, which is $8, not only includes the NBA, but includes NFL and MLB too. This is a great package if you want to get all three of these sports in and make some great money. This is a package for you. With small forwards, once again, I didn't spend over 8K in this area. I don't think I spent 8K in the other thing. I think Scottie Barnes was my only 8K plus player. But that was mainly due to the fact that Jimmy Butler was priced at 7,700. And I was a big fan of that, to be honest, because I know, once again, Jimmy Butler, especially because Tobias Harris is 100 over him. And you know when Jimmy Butler says Tobias Harris over him, it means he's going to have a good night. And he's had, I mean, especially in this case, because I think Tier was still injured. Tyler Harrell was actually questionably dealing with some injury regarding his foot. So Jimmy Butler might have to take on a lot more responsibility, not only in playmaking, but in scoring as well. And he has missed a lot of games, but he should be back. I think it was some personal reasons. So he should be able to come back. And at 7,700, it's a great price to go for in terms of a star like Jimmy Butler. Upper mid-tier, Denny Avdia. This is a player who's been on an absolute streak. And I wasn't going to believe it until I was looking at his stats. And rightfully so, the guy's, he attempted 24 shots and 17 shots the game before that. So it seems he's getting his shot attempts a lot more up. I mean, the game against the Pelicans, he had 10 threes. 13 free throw attempts. I don't know what Denny Avdia played against the Pelicans. I didn't watch the highlights, but it seems like it was a monster. Of course, could he replicate this? That'd be absolutely amazing against the OKC Thunder, but most likely he won't. But it definitely does mean that he is headed in a direction where he's going to be much more aggressive on offense, taking a lot more responsibility. And of course, with the recent news of Jordan Poole coming off the bench, I don't think there would be an issue with getting a lot of more shot attempts from him. And knowing that he can go for occasionally double-digit rebounds is also another great sign. So you're hoping he can kind of have another performance like that against OKC. A bit pricey, but I believe in the guy. And then budget option, why not go with another wizard who's going to get a lot more opportunity? That's Glauco Labadie, because as I mentioned, Jordan Poole coming off the bench, that means someone took his slot, and that was Glauco Labadie. So I have 4,200. I think he's a budget pick that's going to be pretty solid because he will be getting a lot of minutes because I think he might be the best defender on the team, or maybe it's Denny. But in general, I think this kind of also shows you that Washington is prioritizing their young guys, even though Jordan Poole is a young guy, but I guess they don't consider him part of their core. So I think Blanco Lavalle should have a lot more opportunity to just kind of just do his thing and hopefully play 30 minutes on a consistent basis, because that'd be great for this pick.
All right, some solid picks. When it comes to my spend up, I'm gonna go more of a GPP route. I really do feel like a lot of players will be off of this spend up. I really don't see the ownership being high, and I do think the spread will take a lot of people away from this. But I'm actually will spend up for Kawhi Leonard in this spot in GPPs. Again, it's a back-to-back against Memphis, so you know, I want to say probably for the past 3 years, Kawhi kind of been the face of load management, but he's been playing back-to-back this season, and you can't really get a better matchup than Memphis if you're looking to pad up some stats. And I do feel like he should be able to not just score in this matchup, but if I remember correctly, in the game against Oklahoma City tonight, he only had three rebounds and assists. So I really do feel those numbers should be going up in this matchup. He still should be able to get you 20 points as well. So I'm looking at a floor of about 40. And then if the games stay close, since Hey, they defeated Milwaukee. You can't really sleep on the team, especially on a back-to-back when you got to play at Memphis as well. These G League players playing for the second contract, so I think the game's going to be a little bit closer than the spread is showing. So Quiet's going to be my spend-up. Now, going with my mid-tier play, I'm going to go back to a matchup that I've been talking about too much. Man, I'm sorry, man. I got to pick another Atlanta player. I got to go with Sadiq Bey at 5'9". Again, highest total on the slate. A lot of the shots are going to be going up. Rebound rate for Sadiq Bey is around 20%. I really do feel like this is a potential double-double spot for him. If I can get his PRA at 21, I'm probably going to be playing that as well. I don't really have too much of a budget play since, you know, like you said, a lot of news got to go out. But if I had to take a chance on somebody, since they are on the back-to-back and they are playing a team who's not the greatest and are already taking, I'm going to go with Isaiah Joy for 3-2. His minutes been all over the place in the month of February. I don't remember seeing him too much in the game against the Clippers. I think he had a dunk. But he's a solid three-point shooter. Should get a extended run, especially on the back-to-back. Plus, I do believe the spread in this game, it should be about a little – should be a blowout by the third quarter. And if you could get him out there for 20 minutes, he could get you 15 natural points. And possibly 4 or 5 3-pointers as well. So for 3-2 on a GPP, even in cash games, I really don't think you could do that much better than Isaiah Joe.
I actually like that pick a lot. I mean, it was surprising because I think he started off being a rotational piece, and I thought he was going to be solid, but you're right, his value has definitely gone down. His play has been inconsistent, which is something that we didn't see last season. But moving on to power forwards, I'm going for another Pelican. I'm going with Zion Williamson at 7,900. I mean, usually in the games where you look at the stats when he plays without Ingram, he usually has some really great performances. And even in this game against the Rockets, 27 points, only had 3 rebounds, but had 10 assists. So it seems he also had some playmaking responsibilities as well. And in general, I think he's going to have a lot more usage, a lot more shot attempts. Everything is going to go up, and he's only at 7,900. So I think this would be a great opportunity to go for. Of course, he would be going against some tough defenders. But because I think because the Pelicans are playing on a back-to-back, I think this game is going to be a closer one. You're hoping the Pelicans could stay in it and Zion could have a consistent performance. Of course, sometimes he does tend to have these injury issues or something like that where it can sometimes make him miss these games. But I think if he decides to play, I think it will be another great night for some potential upside. And then mid-tier, I didn't really go for mid-tier. I guess this is like between mid-tier and budget. And that's a Hawks player, and it's not Sadiq Bey, it's DeAndre Hunter. And I went with DeAndre Hunter at 4,900 because he's a player who's come back and he's had some solid games. And you've always mentioned, you know, sometimes you got to go against these teams who allow a lot of points to get your form back. And against Toronto, I think he's very well capable of doing that. And I was also going to say that because Sadiq Bey sometimes, I think Sadiq Bey is his only competition, I would say. He's definitely not taking that spot from Jalen Johnson. So I think DeAndre Hunter could have a great chance to outplay him because the Raptors' defense has been quite abysmal. So I think this would be another way to get back into form and kind of get back to your starting spot. And at 4,900, I think it's a pretty solid price to go for. And then budget pick, this is just a player who I like to go for because I feel like he can get minutes on his Raptors team. And that's Jordan Nwora at 3,000. The Raptors don't have a solidified rotation. Bruce Brown plays minutes here and there. I mean, it's not really consistent. So I think, like, as these games where you need some buckets, I think Jordan Nwora can definitely play. I mean, O'Shea Agbaji, the player who the Raptors traded for at the deadline, hasn't been that solid either, where he should have solidified his position coming off the bench. So I think Jordan Moore at 3,000. Same thing that I said with like Jordan Hawkins. If he can get some opportunity to hit his buckets, I think he should have a pretty solid game. And he's only priced at 3,000, so the expectations wouldn't be too high.
All right, man. Some pretty solid picks. I'm going to go right back to a game I've been talking about a whole lot for my spend up. And that's going to be Jalen Johnson for 7-3. Again, if I'm not running Sadiq Bey, I know you talked about DeAndre. I'm going to be running Jalen, man. I'm going to be running Jalen in the spot, pairing him up with Trae Young. I do feel like either one of those three players will go over expectation, probably get you about a 45 DK night. Mm-hmm. And in cash games and GPP, I feel like Johnson will be a play at the price of 7-3. Going with my mid-tier play, I don't really think too many people will be on him. I honestly don't like the matchup, but I do feel like somebody on this team needs to score. And I'm actually going to go with GG Jackson against the Clippers on a back-to-back. 5-2, so the price is kind of up there. Beyond scoring dependent, I mean, it's either he's going to get you 25 points or no points. He's either going to get you 32 minutes or 13 minutes. He's either going to get you 5 fouls or 0 fouls. You really don't know what you're going to get out of him, but one thing about him, if he's on the floor, he's probably going to be the best available scorer, especially if Jackson is out. Well, Triple J is out on the Memphis side. Now, go for my cheapy play. You need to wait for the news on this one. I'm going back to a... Am I going to go this route? I'm going to go this route, but just hear me out on this. Let me talk about it a little bit. I did say somebody will need to score on the Memphis side. I did say GG Jackson can't get into foul trouble. Mm-hmm. Memphis, they don't really know what they're doing with their players' rotation at the moment. So, somebody who can get you 20 actual points if they give you 25 minutes, I'm going to go with Yuta Watanabe.
Whoa.
Only in GPPs. Look, he's new to the team. But in the three games he played, I want to say he actually has 36 minutes played. Now, here's the catch. One game he played 30 minutes. Another game he played 0 minutes. Another game he played 10 minutes. So you're really going to be throwing a lot of darts. But if you feel like this game's going to be out of hand, they need some scoring, and they need to look for a three-point shooter, Watanabe is somebody who gets you solid minutes without failing.
Hey, I like it. I like the bold picks. You know, especially if the game is a blow, I think that's where your pick is going to really come into play. Centers. I didn't go too expensive tier. I mean, there weren't really a lot of options in terms of centers. I mean, Sengun I like, but he hasn't been on quite the street that you would want him to be on to go for him. With the Wizards and Chet Holmgren, I mean, it might just be a blowout, so I don't know if Chet's going to get the opportunity. But I did like a few people in the mid-tier area, and that's the players were right next to each other. That's Marvin Bagley III at 5,500 and Zubac at 5,400. Just to quickly speak about it, Marvin Bagley has kind of found some form for this Wizards team. I mean, it's kind of the reason I want to say they traded Gafford in the first place, because, I mean, he was fit to play the starting center. In the both games, I think he's attempted over 10 field goals, had double-digit rebounds. I want to say double-doubles back-to-back, I want to say. And he's been pretty solid for them. And at 5,500, blowout or not, I think he still will get his fair share of minutes to at least kind of repeat that same type of performance. And with Zubac, guy who's come back from injury, did take them quite a few games to get back into form, but against Golden State, of course, that smaller lineup was able to get you 13 points, 10 rebounds, and 230 DK fantasy points. And against this Memphis team, who starting center, I don't know who it is. Is it Santi Aldama? I think especially if Jaren Jackson Jr. decides not to play, this would be another one of those matches for Zubac to just kind of eat pretty easily. Of course, hit him with the post hooks that he always use, hits with everybody. So to 5,400, I think it's a pretty safe price to go for, and Zubac should be able to get around that same 30 DK fantasy points mark.
All right. But I think the name you were trying to think of is Trey Jameson. He's been started for Memphis lately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't play him, though. that's not going to be my GPP or anything. For my spend up at center, it was actually kind of hard to think of somebody. I do feel like Bam will be kind of chalky. I do feel like, you know, like you said, Sengun wasn't the most consistent. But even though it's a back-to-back, I might play Kyle Kuzma as my spin-up at the center position. I want to say he hit 6 threes in this game against the Nuggets. Also got 11 rebounds in basically the first half. He seemed like he's trying to play, you know, just be the best player on the Wizards at the end of the season. So, look, he's still playing with heart. Can't really say that about somebody who a lot of people thought would be the star of the Wizards this season. And I do feel like if he plays in this back-to-back, he should be the best scoring option for the Wizards, especially if they want to get an upset win. Don't really see that happening. Wouldn't put any money on that. Going for my mid-tier play. This is good news. I'm actually going to go with a Toronto-Atlanta play again, but this time it's going to be on the Toronto side. Jakob Poeltl. I really do feel like this is a nice little, you know, not just a double-double spot, but one of those, you know, 15 and 15 games you get out of him every now and then. Might get you a couple blocks and a steal. Don't think he's going to have that little 60 fantasy point game that he had at the end of the month. But I'm talking more about like a little 40 DraftKings point night. Something pretty respectable. Again, at 6'2", I really don't think too many people will be on him. GPP-wise, he should be less than 10% owned. Cash game-wise, should be less than 10% owned. So that's somebody that I could feel pretty comfortable plugging into my lineup, especially in this high total game. Now with the cheapy play, man, I had to think about that one for a while. But since they're on a back-to-back, I might need to play Drew Eubanks for 3-7 going up against Houston. Again, this is a player who can get in foul trouble easily. This is a player who can see the floor for less than 10 minutes. And this is a player whose usage rate is probably less than 17% when he's on the floor without starters. You're really hoping for a couple blocks, a couple steals from him. Hoping for a couple rebounds. Might get to the line once if you're lucky. But if you need about 25 DK point upside on a, I want to say this is a 6 or 7 game slate, you can't do too much worse in the GPP than you base for 3-7.
That is true. I mean, it is a 6 game slate. And Drew Eubanks, especially in this scenario where maybe blow, may not, or using it because you could get in foul trouble or not, I think this would definitely be a game where Drew Eubanks definitely has a shot. But like you said, this is a 6-game slate because we have 4 games that were separated in the other one. So we should probably get a start on this one. But before we do, let me mention to you guys the DFS pass that you can get for $5 per month. With this package, you get DFS delivery, the pick'ems daily, and as usual, Discord access to the pros. This is a pass you gotta have because if you want to keep up with the injury reports that are probably gonna be coming out right before the games, this is the pass for you. But for point guards, I'll take the lead on this one because I'm pretty excited to mention the players that I'm going for, and one of them is, I feel like it's a slightly bold pick because I don't know if people are gonna be leaning towards him, and that's Damian Lillard at 8,900. A player who had a great All-Star weekend, won three-point champion, I think. I didn't really tune in a lot. But he definitely got back into form. Wasn't he also All-Star Game MVP, if I'm not mistaken? So against his matchup against Minnesota, I don't think it'll be the big men who kind of have the standout performance. I think it's going to be the guards, and I think Damian Lillard is due to have a good performance. He's been struggling, and I think this All-Star break was definitely needed for him, and in his case as well, to kind of get back into form. In the mid-tier area, I decided to go with Trey Mann. I was about to say Terrence, but Trey Mann at 5,600. A player who has been starting, of course, due to the absence of LaMelo. And he's been playing some solid basketball ever since he's been on the team. I mean, he's only 5,600, and I think past three games that he's played for them, he's had 31 DK fence points twice. And the last game he had with Atlanta was 45 DK fantasy points. I don't think they played today. Actually, no, they did play today against the Jazz. And he is having a quiet night, but I think at 5,600, I mean, it's safe to kind of go for a player like him, because going against Golden State, who aren't, I want to say, a defensive team, he definitely will have the opportunity to kind of have another high performance. And then cheapy-wise, cheapy pick, I guess. I'm going with Monte Morris at 3,200. This is one of the players that kind of went under the radar for in terms of the trades that happened. And he's been playing some great minutes for Minnesota. How come I can't see? Is he not showing up on DraftKings? One second. Sorry. Okay, for some reason he's not showing up on DraftKings, but he was showing up on the... he is showing up, pardon me. Sorry about that. Yeah, so yeah, he is showing up, and he's had some solid games. Nothing too crazy, of course. Don't expect crazy for a guy who's only priced at 3,200 and was only getting backup point guard minutes. But I think this soon will be a pretty good pick. I mean, he's a player who's could come off, and he was one of the players, I would say, back towards his Denver time, had one of the best assist to turnover ratios. Which I think hopefully he can kind of bring to this Minnesota team as well. But yep, that's my GP pick for the point guard position.
Pretty solid play, but yeah, you know, Dame won that competitive trophy award for All-Star MVP, was the three-point contest winner. So, you know, he had a great little All-Star break. But I don't think I'm going to go that route. For my spend up, I'm going to go ugly. I'm going to go with a pick that nobody liked doing. And I'm going to go to Denver against Portland. Denver's are back-to-back. Anthony Simons hasn't played basketball in a while. And if Kyle Kuzma could get 5 three-pointers on the Denver Nuggets, I feel like Simons could get you about 7. With an upside. So for 7 sets with an upside of a player who could get you 6 to 7 three-pointers in a game, I really do like that, especially playing Denver on a back-to-back when Portland is at home. Going for my mid-tier pick. It's a back-to-back. It's against San Antonio. I do feel like Anthony Davis will be sitting out this game. LeBron should be playing. And I'm going to go with the Lakers trade deadline pickup, somebody who should have been a Raptor, and that's Spencer Dinwiddie. Really do feel like on a back-to-back, he should be pretty low on. It is a four-game slate. And at a 5-1 price tag, not watching what he's doing right now tonight, but from the two games he played, felt like he looked somewhat comfortable out there. And honestly, by the end of March, he might actually be the starting point guard on the team. For my cheapie, I'm going to go with, you know, somebody I talked about a little bit at the beginning of the season, back when he was on OKC. Multi-time EuroLeague MVP, multi-time champion, and that's Mitchick for Charlotte at 3-8. Game's not over yet against Utah, but he had about 15 minutes already going into the fourth quarter. I want to say he got 5-6 assists, a turnover or two, 5 points. And on a back-to-back, especially when Trey Mann performance is in it was before the All-Star break, I do feel like he might actually get a little bit uptick in minutes going on for the rest of the season. But that's all I got.
Interesting picks. I can't say I agree. I mean, I will say I agree because those are actually some of my shooting guard picks. I don't have to speak a lot about Anthony Simms. I think you mentioned in great detail that, I mean, he's going to – of course, he's been known to kind of have these performances go off, especially against Denver playing on a back-to-back. I think you can expect him to attack Jokic in the pick-and-rolls or the pick-and-pops that they run. And not to mention Scoot and Malcolm Brogdon are both out for this game. So that means that Anthony Simmons will probably be the point guard, sole point guard, and handle the ball a lot more. So maybe playmaking was going to be expected of him as well. And $7,600, this is still a solid price. Mid-tier wise, it's got to go with Brandon Pods. Of course, this guy has been outstanding this season. He's kind of the player who, I want to say, is taking Klay Thompson's starting spot. And he's rightfully so. I mean, the guy's been able to get you over 30 DK fantasy points in, like, a good amount of these games I'm looking at. And, like, the game against the Clippers a couple of days ago had 50 DK fantasy points. I mean, he's not only been scoring the ball, he's been rebounding, getting you assists. I mean, it's just been some great stat lines. And I think against Charlotte, I think he should be able to replicate the same. Of course, Charlotte doesn't have any backcourt pieces. I mean, I think Cody Martin is a guy who's been playing a lot more. Like I said, Trey Mann, Micic, Seth Curry is getting some minutes too now. So I think Pods should be able to kind of still be able to perform to his, I want to say his averages, and possibly have the chance to exceed that as well. And then my cheapy pick was a player who had dual eligibility, and you mentioned Micic. Of course, this is the player that I heard from you earlier this season, and I noticed his stats on Charlotte as a backup point guard have been pretty solid, and it's kind of why I like him. Of course, I probably wouldn't stack him and Trey Mann in the same slate, but to have the spread out, I mean, Micic is a guy who I've noticed he can sometimes have those games where he'll have a good amount of buckets and some good amount of minutes coming off the bench in like 20 minutes. So in this case, that the game is a blowout. I don't see why Micic shouldn't get a lot more opportunity to do this, kind of play his game.
Yeah, I like those picks. For my spend up, I'm gonna go this route. It's a back to back for both of these teams. Charlotte is on the road, but I do feel like Brandon Miller is in a nice little spot going up against Golden State on the back to back. Ever since the trade deadline, he's basically just got the green light, probably has the biggest green light on Charlotte right now. I will play him with Micic as well. Think the small amount of time they have on the floor, they coexist pretty well. Going with my mid-tier pick, I'm going back to this Charlotte-Golden State game, and I'm actually going to take a shot on Klay Thompson. I really do feel like he will have low ownership, especially right now. He started the game pretty cold, but as you know, Klay Thompson isn't going to be the same Klay Thompson that we knew, who would, you know, get you 75% accuracy, get you a couple three-pointers on 11 dribbles to get you almost 70 points. You know, we won't get that. But I do feel like he still can be efficient, and especially going on into a back-to-back, I do feel like if he's coming off the bench, he should get a little bit more minutes than usual. Now for my cheapy play. A lot of people probably won't be on this player. Could play him at the point guard position as well. But again, playing against a Laker team who's probably going to be short AD, so a little bit of defense will be gone. And he does have I want to say he had the highest assist rate on San Antonio, aside of him or Trey Jones, but Blake Wesley. He's not giving you the greatest amount of minutes. I want to say it could range anywhere from 15 to 30. But going on a back-to-back in a game that could be blowing out, even if it's not a blow, he should still be able to be a pretty solid player, since outside of Jones, he's the only real point guard that this team has. So if you get him in 20 points, you can play him in a GPP. You can play him in cash. He should get you around 15 to 25 fantasy points in this spot.
Interesting pick. I haven't heard that one in a while. I don't think I've heard that one at all, actually, in my time at Sports Ethos. But I know you and your bold, cheapy picks, I always enjoy those ones. Small forward, my spend up, I'm going with Anthony Edwards at 8,700. Like I said, I think this is going to be a duel between the guards. The big man I'm not favoring. And Anthony Edwards, a guy who was shooting with his left hand in the skills challenge, and presumably he's at the All-Star game as well. Also got his break. So I think this is second half of the season going to be pretty important for Minnesota, especially to get the first seed. And I think Anthony Edwards, to kind of, for Minnesota to accomplish that, Anthony Edwards can kind of go back to his, I want to say, early season form where he was having monster stat lines at the point where he was like priced over like in the upper 9,000s. So I think Anthony Edwards at 8,700 in this star-studded matchup will kind of be the main guy for Minnesota. So 8,700, he's my spend up. My mid-tier pick, I decided to go with Rui Hachimura. And this is a player who I could expect to kind of back-to-back. And I also think, just like you said, Anthony Davis might not play. So I wouldn't be surprised if you actually saw him playing center minutes. Of course, his eligibility is for small forward, power forward. But against San Antonio, I don't know if you prefer Jackson Hayes, especially because Christian Wood is injured. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works. But I think Rui Hachimura will have a lot more minutes, which he's continued to do so because of Jared Vanderbilt's injury, of course. And then my budget pick is Jalen McDaniels at 3,600. This is a guy who can obviously have these games here and there where he had put some amazing defensive performances and like hits all his shots, but he can be really, really inconsistent, which is kind of why he's priced at 3,600. But against this Milwaukee team, I think you can expect him to play a lot of minutes because you're going to need his defense against whether if they decide to put him on someone like Damian Lillard or Chris Middleton. I think he will definitely have a role to play, and he will be getting a lot of space. I think he will be getting a lot of threes. I think you can expect some double teams towards the Minnesota star players. So Jalen McDaniels at 3,600 is a guy who I think I'm safe to say will play like a good 30 to 35 minutes, I want to say, at the very minimum. So at 3,600, I think it's a good price to go for.
All right, solid picks. I'm just gonna go chalk. I'm going to spend up on LeBron. Really do think LeBron at home after the All-Star break, an All-Star game he barely played in, with a rested body, with no AD against San Antonio. You're probably looking at about 30% plus ownership in GPPs, cash games. But I got to go there. You can't really get a better value, especially if this game stay competitive with the lack of defensive presence that's going to be on the floor. You're looking at a potential 60-70 point DraftKings night out of LeBron. This game stay close. Going with my mid-tier pick, kind of cheap for a mid-tier pick, but going right back to this San Antonio game, and that's going to be Keldon Johnson, 5-1. Mm-hmm. He's been slipping a little bit. And I want to say ever since January, but out of every player on that team, not named Wembanyama, he's probably one of the other only players who could get you an actual 30-point night that's not Devin Vassell. And in a game like this, if he's not shooting 0-for-15, I do feel like he's has a good chance to have his best game this month and actually get you 20, 30 points, especially if AD's not on the floor. Now for my little cheapy play, I was looking at going two routes with it. I'm just going to go with the safe route. And Denver is on a back-to-back. Porter, even Jokic, Murray, one of these players could sit out. So they're playing against Portland, not the greatest team. Why not, you know, throw a shot on somebody who can shoot three-pointers, right? So for 3-9, I'm going to throw Justin Holiday in. If somebody's out, he's looking at a potential 24, 30-minute spot. And for 3-9, going against Portland defense, that can be a 20-point DraftKings night.
Yeah, I like it. Justin Holiday is definitely interesting because you are right with the back-to-back. You don't know if Jokic or Jamal Murray might play. So definitely will be a lot more minutes for someone else to take over. Well, starting off my power forward is the guy you mentioned for your small forwards. That was LeBron James. Of course, I went with Edwards as my spend up in terms of small forward because he can't really play power forward. He doesn't have the eligibility for it. So I decided to go with LeBron at power forward. Not to mention, I mean, you mentioned all you need to say. I mean, no Anthony Davis against San Antonio in L.A., as great as Victor Wembanyama has been, I don't know how he's going to fare against LeBron driving in on him, even though he's handled Giannis pretty well when he faced off. But I think LeBron, of course, is going to have to do a lot of heavy lifting in this type of matchup with no AD, especially if Austin Reeves or DeAndre Russell are exhausted a bit from this matchup against Golden State. Mid-tier pick, I decided to go with Jonathan Kuminga at 6,700. Golden State, of course, thing of back-to-back, but Kuminga, another one of the young guys who should be able to play against Charlotte and kind of play his way of performing, of course, slashing and driving. Mark Williams is still injured, and I think Nick Richards is the only guy, but I think Jonathan Kuminga should be able to still get his buckets because Nick Richards isn't kind of the tall center or the paint protector, you would say. And at 6,700, I think he should be able to kind of get his value as he's usually been able to do so. Budget pick is the guy who he might be going against at center or power forward, and that's Grant Williams at 4,600, a player who has kind of been playing some great basketball. I usually have never gone for someone like Grant Williams, but in the case is right now, he has been playing some great basketball. I don't know how he performed today. I guess there's a lot more buckets, but he has been able to score and get you around 30 DK fantasy points and being able to get you some rebounds. He's kind of been efficient, which is something Dallas wanted from him, but not from the three-point range. He still has taken around like 6 threes or 5 threes. But at 4,600, I mean, this is what you're going to expect. So if he's a guy who has that upside to get 30 DK fantasy points, especially against Golden State, who is going to be playing these smaller big men, so Grant Williams will have a fair shell to play against these guys.
All right. And I'm going to start my spend up in this Charlotte Golden State game, man. I'm going to go with Mr. Potential 2020 game, Miles Bridges, man. I really do like the matchup against Golden State, especially on the back-to-back. If he gets the green light to play, he probably will be the best rebounder on the floor. And possibly, for Charlotte case at least, the best scorer on the floor. Usage rate went insane for the month of February. I know he had a couple duds in there. Right now it seemed like he's bouncing back pretty well against the Jazz. Actually helped him with the little comeback. And probably are at about 45 DraftKings points going into the fourth quarter right now. Mid-tier, again, I feel like Jokic, Murray, or Porter will be out. So I got my eyes on Gordon right now at 6'4". Typically, get a slight increase in minutes of usage when those players are out. And if he's able to get to the line in this game against Portland and get, I don't know, anywhere from 5 to 8 free throw attempts, I do feel like this will be a 35, 40-point draft key night from Gordon. Not going cheap. There was a couple spots I was going to go, but I'm like, you know, let me just keep it safe, give something for the cash games. And that's going to be Taurean Prince against the Spurs at 4-5. Typically, when LeBron's on the floor, his role is a little bit more cleared. And he's the type of player that really does help when LeBron's on the floor. Typically when it's just like Russell or, for nowadays, Dinwiddie, Reeves. He's not going to be the most efficient player, won't really get you those 4 3-pointer games. But when LeBron's on the floor going up against a team that give up a good amount of threes, I like him. Could chalk him in for about 20 drafting points.
For sure. Let's go wrap up this podcast by talking about the centers. I didn't go too high on this spend up. Originally, I was thinking about someone like Anthony Davis in this matchup just to add more state to it because he's going against Wemby, and I think they had a great matchup last time they faced off. But of course, I'm also leaning towards Anthony Davis not playing, so I decided to go towards the mid-tiers. And I like Draymond Green at 6,300. I mean, he's a player who they've been starting at center. He's had some great games. The game against Utah, he had 50 DK fantasy points. In this game against the Lakers, I think he's been having a solid night, I want to say. I mean, it's been a sick. He only had 6 minutes. I don't know why I haven't watched the game, so I'm going to take a look at that to see if he actually plays on this Friday matchup. But in the case he does, I still think he should be able to kind of get his averages and still have a solid night. 6,300 is a pretty solid price to go for, knowing that the other team is also going to be playing some small ball. And then a bit cheaper than him was Brook Lopez. I think he's going to be a pretty interesting player for this Minnesota Timberwolves team because he can be a rim protector and space the floor, which might be a bit annoying for a Rudy Gobert or Karl-Anthony Towns might prefer to guard Brook Lopez, so we're going to see how that works out. But I think Brook Lopez is someone who needs to be utilized a lot more, and you're hoping Doc Rivers can kind of get the best out of him. In the season, of course, he is getting up there in age, so 6,000. I think he's going to be a really important player in this matchup. And then lastly, my budget pick. I guess this is around the 4,500 range, so I don't know if it is a budget pick, but Naz Reid. Of course, I think he's one of those players who I really like in this type of matchup. I think he's going to be kind of that X factor because I think when it comes to, like, I guess mobility, I want to say he's probably the faster of the two. And going against a Giannis, it might be a bit difficult for a cat. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if you even saw a three big men lineup be played at least once in this game. I know the Milwaukee Bucks like to do as well. But at 4,500, we know Naz Reid can sometimes have those nights where he can kind of get around 25 plus DK fantasy points. I think it is going to be a low ownership pick because in this matchup, you probably don't see him get a lot of minutes. But at 4,500, I think I'm willing to take that risk and go for the upside.
Okay. Pretty solid picks. Like yourself, I didn't really like spending up too high on the center position. But hear me out.
Uh-oh.
This player showed his great ability to score the ball this past weekend against some of the greatest players on earth. So 7-7, 4-game slate, Cat. I can't go there, but I do like somebody who's a big man on Minnesota. And that's Rudy Gobert, the person who Cat kind of stole the all-star spot from. I do feel like he should get his regular amount of minutes, possibly a little bit more run too. When it comes to ownership, I really don't know what it's going to be. It's a 4-game slate, so I really don't know if this is going to be something I would run in cash and GPPs or just GPPs. But I do feel like he should be able to get you a solid 40, 45 DraftKings point night for that 7.5 price tag. Going with my mid-tier play, I know you like Brook Lopez, but I was more so on the Bobby Portis trend. 5'9", I do feel like he has the safest bench production on the Bucks. I do feel like this won't be a double-double spot for him. So I won't be looking at any props for him. But when it comes to the Bucks needing bench production to score, he will be the most valuable piece. So I do feel like he has the potential to get you 18 actual points in this game. Going for the cheat play, I didn't really know where to go for this one. So I'm just going to go with the person who just got his contract during this All-Star break. Went from a two-way player to being in a rotation. And for 3-3, I'm going to go do a brief in this Portland-Denver game. I do feel like he should be able to get you 12 to 20 minutes in this game. His ownership might be a little high if, you know, Jokic is ruled out. I feel like a lot of people will pivot off of the Aiden play and, you know, play Reef. So you might get him at about 10% ownership maximum. But if everything stay intact, you know, let's just say Jokic plays, you should be able to get him at like 2%. And that's somebody who might be able to turn that GPP around for you, especially on a four-game slate.
Interesting. I haven't heard that name in a while. But I know you and your GPP picks, the combination of going with these whether it's a European or whether it's a player who is, you know, kind of on that good streak. I know you usually end up finding those needles in the thread. Is that the saying? But, yeah, overall, I think this was – this was a hefty podcast, of course, talking about two slates because DraftKings loves to divide them in two. But we hope you guys enjoyed. You can always hit me up at Twitter at Too Nice. That's spelled TO0_Nice_. And Kenny, where can they hit you up?
Yeah, you can hit me up on Twitter at OrangeDFS. I'm always talking about all levels of basketball. Right now we got European and NBL on a break. But if you want to talk college, more than happy to talk about that or some NBA.
Beautiful. I hope you guys enjoyed, and I hope you guys listen to our choices and win some good money. Hope you have a great night, and I'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.